and every day. I still cry sometimes, but I can look back and think, so glad I made it. So glad I'm rooted in his word. So glad I'm rooted in the God I serve. So glad I made it through. I'm so glad I made it through. The song before that said, praise is what I do. I praise him through the good. I praise him through the bad. I just praise him. I praise him in advance for what he's going to do. When the road seems darkest, I lift my hands up and say, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. And this morning, I want you all to join me just for a moment. Just for a moment in that, just to lift up your hands and say, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I don't know what you're going through this morning, but he does. Hallelujah. Stand on your feet and give him glory this morning, because somebody didn't wake up this morning. Somebody doesn't know where their next meal is coming from. Somebody doesn't know where the roof over their head is coming from. Somebody is laying in the sick room praying for a dying child. Somebody could have been you. Somebody could have been me. But this morning he chose to allow us to enter his gates one more time. To give him praise, to give him glory, to give him honor, to just thank him for who he is. To just say, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. And glory to the Lamb. If you've got something to thank him for this morning, I give you a minute to just say thank you, to just praise him for what he's done, to just say thank you, Lord, that you've seen me through the good, Lord. You've seen me through the bad, Lord. Hallelujah. That you order my steps each and every day, God. Guide my tongue, guide my words, Lord. And no matter what I look like, God, I don't look like what I've been through, Lord. I thank you, God. I thank you that you put your praise on my lips, God. This morning, I thank you as we serve, as we prepare to celebrate Holy Communion. And that's what it is. It's a celebration of the sacrifice he made for you and I. He didn't have to, but he did. He made a sacrifice for you and I. He stepped out of eternity into time. He put on a fleshly body because nobody could pay the cost that was required but him. Nobody but him could pay that price. I want you to think on that as we celebrate Holy Communion. You guys are too quiet this morning because I don't know. I'm excited. I'm happy. I'm glad this morning about who he is in my life. And as we celebrate Holy Communion, hallelujah, hallelujah. For those of you joining us online, we welcome you to Taylor Tabernacle this morning. As you can see, we're already a little bit excited, maybe not as much as we should be, but we're already a little bit excited. We started off with prayer this morning in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We thank you for joining us on Facebook and YouTube Live. We're streaming live from the city of Philadelphia. Taylor Tabernacle, where Elder Jonathan Ford is our pastor. We hope you'll join us this morning in celebration as we lift up the name of our risen Savior this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody. Give him glory right there. Hallelujah. Bless his holy and his righteous name. Amen. 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 We're going to go into our communion scripture, if you would. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 18 through 34. And I'm going to fix that because this has been incorrect for a while. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, 23 through 34. Amen. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through 34. For I received from the Lord what I also pass on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. So then, whoever eats the bread and drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. Everyone ought to examine themselves before they eat of the bread and drink from the cup. For those who eat and drink without discerning the body of Christ eat and drink judgment on themselves. This is why many among you are weak and sick, and a number of you have fallen asleep. But if we were more discerning with regard to ourselves, we would not come under such a judgment. Nevertheless, when we are judged in this way by the Lord, we are being disciplined so that we will not be finally condemned with the world. So then, my brothers and sisters, when you gather to eat, you should eat all together. Anyone who is hungry should eat something at home so that when we meet together, it may not result in judgment. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. We're going to ask our Deaconess Helena Weitsch to come forward and give us the confession of faith, followed by our Reverend Ronald Radcliffe, who will bless the communion table. Amen.
Repeat after me. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done, and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your name. Amen.
Shall we bow our heads? God our Father, who in wise providence has bountifully blessed us, in the name of Jesus, we celebrate this Sunday communion. You said in your word, as often as we do this in remembrance of you. Lord, we thank you right now as we take these supplements. The bread represent your broken body. As we drink this juice, which represents your shed blood. In the name of Jesus, we say thank you, Jesus, because we remember what you did for us on Calvary. Lord, have mercy. We thank you right now. In the name of the Father, the name of the Son, the name of the Holy Ghost, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
As we prepare for our pastor, hey, join me in a congregational hymn. I know it was the blood. Amen. I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood for me. One day when I was lost, Jesus died on the cross. And I know it was the blood for me. I know it. I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood for me. One day when I was lost, Jesus died on the cross. And I know it was the blood for me. I thank him. I thank him for the blood. I thank him for the blood. I thank him for the blood for me. One day when I was lost, Jesus died on the cross, and I know it was the blood for me.
Good morning, and God, this is the day that the Lord has made, and we ought to rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. Hey, while you're standing, I'm going to invite you to turn with me in the Word of God to the book of 2 Kings, the 5th chapter, beginning at the 15th verse. It's going to look after a few verses there, and then we'll add to the witness out of Exodus 20 and 22. So again, 2 Kings, chapter 5, beginning at verse 15. And then the book of Exodus chapter 20 and verse 22. Always invite folks to turn there. And that way they don't have to take my word for it. They can read it and see it for themselves. Amen. So if you're there, verse 15 picks up the story of Naaman and says this, and he returned to the man of God, he and all his aides, and came and stood before him. And he said, indeed, now I know that there is no God in all the earth except in Israel. Now, therefore, please take a gift from your servant. But he said, as the Lord lives before whom I stand, I will receive nothing. Right? Elijah said, nope, I don't want anything. And yet, Naaman urged him to take it, but he refused. Verse 17, so Naaman said, then if not, please let your servant be given 2 mule loads of earth, for your servant will no longer offer either burnt offering or sacrifice to other gods, but to the Lord alone. Yet in this thing may the Lord pardon your servant. When my master goes into the temple of Rimmon, to worship there, and he leans on my hand, and I bow down in the temple of Rimmon. When I bow down in the temple of Rimmon, may the Lord please pardon your servant in this thing. And then he said to him, go in peace. And so he departed from him a short distance. Amen. So let's just add to the witness out of Exodus 20. Flip over there. We're staying in the Old Testament this morning. Exodus 20, beginning at verse 22, it says, the Lord said to Moses, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, you have seen that I have talked with you from heaven. You shall not make anything to be with me. Gods of silver, gods of gold, you shall not make for yourselves. Rather, in verse 24, he says, an altar of earth you shall make for me, and you shall sacrifice on it burnt offerings, peace offerings, your sheep and your oxen. And in every place where I record my name, I will come to you, and I will bless you. Amen. What I want to do this morning is I want to give you the second part of Naaman. And most times when we look at the life of Naaman, we so heavily focus on the front part of the story of Naaman because that's the part that contains the miracle. That's where he dipped and he washed 7 times and he came up clean. But really the greater part of Naaman's story is right here. And all too often, I got to be the first to admit, all too often that as preachers, we often don't preach it. And it's a shame because it's the greater part of the story. So today it's a simple message, but it's a powerful message if you'll hear what the Holy Spirit has for us today. Is that fair enough? So the subject for this, I'm just going to look after those four verses, and I'm really not even going to work out all of them. I'm going to stop really at 17. But the subject I want to use to help kind of drive this message or the point of this part of the story home is don't leave home without it. Right? Does that ring a bell? Ring it, raise your hand if that rings a bell, right? That's the old American Express commercial. Everybody who didn't raise your hand, that means you're under 40 or something, because you got it. It's the old commercial, right? Don't leave home without it. Let's have a word of prayer and we'll jump into it. Father in heaven, we thank you for the privilege that we have today to be gathered here in this place where your name is, to be gathered among those who are of like precious faith, and to focus our attention and our affection on the Word of God. We esteem it highly, and we regard it in all matters of living. So speak to us even as you spoke to the children of Israel in the days of old, and cause our hearts to yearn and burn for the things of God. This is our prayer, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Don't leave home without it. That slogan is famously associated with American Express. It was initially used to promote the American Express traveler's checks. And later on, it became synonymous with the American Express credit card. You had an American Express card. The great thing about it, you could just use it. You know, everybody, and you didn't, all that, it was just, that was the way they were promoting it. So don't leave home without it. This campaign was created by Ogilvy and Mather and was highly successful, and it helped American Express to build a strong brand image for Amex, right? That slogan, don't leave home without it. In order for you not to leave home without it, that means you had to have one, right? And that's what they were going on. They wanted to have everyone to have an American Express card. And then to have that slogan, don't leave home without it, so that what? Anytime you went out, you had your American Express card. So whatever you needed to do, any business you needed to transact, you had your American Express. And I use that in relation to this text. It says, we're saying don't leave home without it. It reminds us of American Express. But within the context of this message and within the context of our Christian faith, what I'm referring to when I say don't leave home without it, not referring to your Amex card, I'm referring to your altar. Okay? Are you with me? Hopefully that'll help us get us there. Don't leave home without your altar. You guys with me? I told you on last Sunday, I made light of Dr. Deanna being here because I told her, as I told all of you, that if you listen to me preach long enough, you will have heard me say, everybody has a butt. Right? Right? You don't need to go to medical school to learn that. Everyone has a butt, both physically and spiritually, right? The butts, the contradictions in our lives. Another thing that you will have heard me say on countless times, if you've ever spent, any consistent period with me preaching, is that every believer should have an altar, right? And I always tell you, don't get nothing fancy. An altar is nothing more than a place, right? wherever you live, in your house, your apartment, whatever it is, you need to pick a place and say, this is the place where I am going to meet with God. Right? Right? Pick a place. Right? I always tell you, after you pick a place, pick a time. Right? Set a time. And I always encourage you, pick a time that is not only best for you, but pick a time that you are at your best. I used to always laugh. Folks used to tell me, oh yeah, Pastor, I pray at night before I go to bed. And that means one of two things. One, that means you very seldom pray, because if you pray when you go to bed, you're sleepy and you don't pray. Or if you do, like, oh yeah, I'm get down and pray, you get down and pray, and then you don't pray because you want to go to bed. So you say a quick prayer and jump into bed because you're ready to go to bed. So you got a time. Yes, Pastor, I got a time, but it's not a good time because you're not at your best. Find a time in your day, your busy life, your busy schedule. That's the world we live in now. Everybody's busy doing what? I don't know, but we're all busy, right? Everybody is busy, right? I was laughing. I was laughing yesterday. Jermaine, we were home yesterday, and all of the boys had stuff to do. And Jermaine and I were sitting, we didn't have nothing to do. We didn't have nowhere to go. No one invited us to nothing. We didn't have nothing. But the boy, this one was coming to get them, and this guy was coming, and now they're going down to the fire, and we just sat there and laughed. I said, it's funny, but it's probably the best day we've had in a long time, because we had what? Absolutely nothing to do. Nowhere to go. Our boys were busy. They up running. That's why they late now, coming down with their mom. But they had all these plans. Dad, I'm doing this. I'm going here and all this. But we were sitting there with nothing to do. Doesn't happen too often, right? We got phones. We always into something, going somewhere. But so back to this altar thing. You got to pick a place. And like I said, you got to pick a time, not only that works for you, that you are at your best, right? Because when you commune with God, you want to give him your best, right? And primarily that we want to give God our attention, our best attention. One of the things, you know, Jackson going through all this recruiting stuff for football, and what they always tell the parents is that, hey, your son's going to come here, and yes, he's going to play football, all that stuff is fine, but we're going to make sure your son gets an education, and we're going to make sure he does well in school. And one of the ways that they do this is they say, we're going to have your son's class schedule. We're going to know every class your son should be in, you know, during the week. And we're going to send what they call spotters. That we're going to send someone off our staff to, one, go to that class and make sure your son is attending. Right? That's what they're going to say. So that, and if they don't, we're going to report it back to his position coach. So when he comes for his position meeting, ready to talk football, before they get into any football, they're going to deal with that. Hey, why weren't you in class today? Right? So I'm like, hey, this, I might even pay for his education. And you know, I don't need this guy. If y'all gonna do that, say, yep, we're gonna pay. We're gonna have someone go there and they're gonna be a spotter. Make sure your sons attend class. Then they said, Ms. Ford, the other thing we're gonna do is when our guys go to class, we tell them as representatives of the football programs, you don't sit in the back of the class. So our spotter is not only gonna be there, but he's gonna come in the class and make sure our guys are sitting up front. Front row, not second, not third. Big auditor. He said, yep, our guys are going to be in the front row. We're going to have a spotter there. They're going to make sure your son's in class. Going to make sure your son's sitting up front, right? And then he went further. He said, make sure they're going to participate in class. So that we expect our guys, our football, raise your hands. Hey, I know the answer to that. Hey, here's my comment on that. You follow what I'm saying? And what they were trying to really tell us as parents, that we're going to push your son to do as well as he can, not just athletically, but academically. I wish I had a nickel for every time I either didn't go to class, or if I did go, chose to sit in back of the class, right? There's only one thing you do in the back of the class, is that's what? Not pay attention. That's the only thing that happens in the back of the class. You're not paying attention. You almost should not come because you're not getting anything out of it, right? Because you're sitting in the back of the class. You follow what I'm saying? You guys getting what I'm saying? So they said, we're going to do all this stuff because, yes, we want them to do well on the football field, but we want them to do well in the classroom because what he obtains in terms of his education in the classroom is going to do far more for him than football will. They love to use this saying. They say, you know what football stands for, NFL? Not for long. And they spent laborious time trying to get these young guys to understand that yes, it's great, all this other stuff here, but it don't last long. It's hit, and boom, it's over. Career, they tell you, average football player, 3 years. If you make it, 3 years, then it's over and done. You know, not, so you gotta have this education, what? So when that stuff is over, what? You can keep on getting up. Why? Because I got my education. And I have my education, why? Because I gave school my best. I went to class. I sat up front. I turned in all my assignments. All the stuff we know to do, right? But once we get out on our own and away from our parents and all this, oftentimes what? We fail to do it. I speak for myself. At least I did. I failed to do it, right? So anyway, so I want you to have an altar, pick a place, right? Pick a time, right? And then pick a time that is best for you when you're at your best so that you can give God your best, right? Why? So that you can get something out of the exchange that when I meet with God at my designated time and in my designated place, when it's over, I'm going to receive something from God. Why? Because I gave it my best. I was talking to a buddy of mine recently, been in the hospital. And he's having such an ordeal, but at the end of the day, he kept telling, he said, man, it's like, Ford, if you ever get sick, he said, be sure to advocate for yourself. Like when you go to the doctors and go to the hospital, he said one thing, he said, Ford, speak up. That was his advice. Because he said there were so many times that he felt they were leading him the wrong way, and he would have gone the wrong way had he not what? Spoken up. Said, hey, whoa, wait, why are you giving me that medicine? Well, are there any other options? Is there any other, you know, he said, speak up. Right? And so when we have our time with God, we want to speak up when we have our time with God so that at the end of the exchange, what we are walking away with something, right? And it's not just a waste of time. It's not just, oh, I got to check that off my list. Do the dishes, load the dishwasher. That's how my time with God. No. I want to give God my best because when the exchange is over, I want to make sure I'm walking away with something, right? So good. Now, all of that to set this up. Now, let's jump in this text. Now, here it is. Now, we did last Sunday, right? If you guys didn't shout, dance, or spin last Sunday, there's a real possibility you're not going to. Definitely not this Sunday. You follow what I'm saying? That was your Sunday to get it in last Sunday, right? So he does that. Naaman comes up and Naaman's healed. And we shouted about it. We danced about it. All that stuff. Now look at this. Verse 15 says, now he goes back to Elijah, him, all his aides, everything he brought, he stood before him. And he said, indeed, now I know that there is no God in all the earth except in Israel. He said, now therefore, please take a gift from your servant. One of the things I want to credit Naaman with and for is recognizing that God blessed him. All too often we get blessed and we just keep it moving. And we fail to recognize that God has blessed us, right? and we owe God the praise. Are you guys with me on that? If you don't get nothing out of this sermon, take that. Always remember, right? I asked you last Sunday how many of you have had good home training or upbringing. I was really surprised by the number of hands that didn't go up, but that's for another day. But good home, one of the things you learn with good home training is that your mom and all the teacher when you're young is what? Always say what? Always say thank you. How many times do we allow God to bless us and we fail to say thank you, right? And when we fail to say thank you, what we're saying to God is that, yeah, I really did this myself. I really got here on my own. But Naaman realized, Naaman said, no, I done spent all my money, my insurance, years trying to get rid of this leprosy. And I've never had success. I come here to Israel, the man of God tells me to dip 7 times. I dip and I come up with, God has done this, right? And so he does that. Upon his healing, Naaman returned from the Jordan River to Elijah's house in Samaria to give confession to his new belief. He confessed that there was only one God, and that was Israel's God, the Lord Jehovah. 16, he said, as the Lord lives before whom I stand, I will receive nothing. Right? Remember, he brought all this. He brought silver. He brought clothes, all this stuff to bless Elijah if he could heal him. Now he's ready to give it to him. And Elijah said, nope, I don't want it. And he said, I don't want it because I don't want anyone to think I healed you because of what you were giving me. He said, I want God to get all of the glory. Right? So I'm not taking anything. Right? You keep it. Right? Let God, the psalmist says, let God arise and his enemies be scattered. Right? To show that he was not motivated by monetary means like pagan priests and prophets, Elijah, though on other occasions did accept gifts, on this occasion declined them so that the Syrians would see the honor of God only. Okay? Now here's the sermon. This is all I want is verse 17. 17. So Naaman said, then if you're not going to take your gifts that I bought for you for this occasion, he said, let your servant be given 2 mule loads of earth, for your servant will no longer offer either burnt offering or sacrifices to other gods, but to the Lord alone. In ancient Near East culture, it was believed that a god could only be worshipped on the soil of the nation to which it was bound. Therefore, Naaman wanted a load of Israelite soil on which he could make burnt offerings and sacrifices to the Lord when he returned to Damascus. This request confirmed how Naaman had been changed. Previously, Naaman disparaged Israel's rivers, right? He didn't want to wash in the Jordan. He said, if you wanted me to wash, I got pristine rivers back in Damascus. Let me wash there, right? He belittled the Jordan River, but now, having been converted, he wanted some of Israel's dirt. Why? Because with the dirt, he could do what? Build an altar, right? Isn't that Exodus 20? We just, in the witness, we read it. Exodus 20:24 says, an altar of earth you shall make for me. And you shall sacrifice on it your burnt offerings, your peace offerings, sheep, your oxen. And he says, and in every place where I record my name, I will come to you and I will bless you. Right? Whatever you do, don't leave home without your altar. Right? You said, but wait a minute, Pastor, you said pick a place. Right? You said pick a time. right? And if I got a place and a time, that's in my house and in where I live at. What do? Your altar starts in that place, right? But your altar ultimately becomes your what? Your heart, right? And so when I make that phrase, don't leave home without it, I'm saying don't leave home without your altar, right? That wherever you go, take your heart of prayer with you, right? Right? We don't want to get out of our daily routine. We go away on vacation or do whatever. And while we are away, we forget what? We forget to pray. While we're on vacation, we don't read our Bible anymore. We forget our dedication to the time we had with God. And we look at Naaman's commitment to God. He said, give me some of your dirt. Because again, that little history piece I gave you, they felt that God to be worshiped had to be worshiped on the soil to which nation they were God of. Naaman said, I'm a Syrian, but give me Hebrew dirt so that I can what? Build an altar. He said, wherever I am, I'm going to take this mule load of dirt so I can build an altar so that what? I can continue to worship the God of Israel. Right? This to me is the better part of Naaman's miracle. Because now, having been healed, he could have just went back home on his merry way. But instead, to show that there's been a real conversion, he said, give me the dirt. Let me go back down by the Jordan. Just give me some of the dirt, some of the mud from the riverbanks, so that when I get back home and it's time for me to offer burnt offerings and sacrifice, I'm no longer going to sacrifice to the Syrian gods, but I'm going to sacrifice to the Hebrew God, and I want to do it for the Hebrew altar. Don't leave home without it. The thing that stuck out in my mind when I read that, this time of year, everyone's on vacation, they're away for the 4th, the summertime, and I know, again, in my own life, I know oftentimes when I go on vacation, I get slack concerning my prayer and devotion time. Why? Because I'm away, I'm out of town, hopefully we're staying somewhere nice, right? Oh, there's a beach there. So all these other things to take our attention and time, and we forget our altar. Before you know it, we forget our prayer time. Before you know it, we forget to give God our best. Right? And instead of advancing and going further with God, we find ourselves what? Slipping what? Further and further away. And then here's the real caution in this whole sermon, is that when we come back from vacation, right? What we've done over the last week, the last 5 days, now begins to take root in our daily lives. And now that even though we're back home, yet we fail to what? Make an altar. Though we're now we're back and we're back from the game. Now we're getting back to work, and before you know it, we'll be back to school, and we have failed to make our own altar. And we spend less and less. Naaman wanted the dirt so that what? He could spend more and more time with God. So that any time in his nation they went to worship, that was his reminder. Yep, I gotta worship God. The true God, the one who healed me, right? And he said, I got enough dirt to build me an altar. Do you follow what I'm saying? That's the message to the house this morning. Don't leave home without your altar. You can make it without your American Express, right? For many of us, we need to leave all our credit cards at home, right? So that we'll get ourselves out of debt, right? Right? But spiritually, don't leave home without your altar. Don't allow your time and place of communication with God to go by the wayside. Because it's easy, because like I said, we're all what? We're all busy. Right? You only get that day, Jermaine and I had yesterday, you only get it one day out of the whole year. That's what it feels like. A day just, there was nothing. We actually wanted to do something, but didn't know what to do. Literally, talk to him when you see it. We just, right? But don't forget your altar. And now get this. I'm finished. This is the sermon. It's over. But I want you to get what he said. Exodus 20:24, make for me an altar. This is the last sentence in that. He says, in every place where I record my name. That's simply saying, wherever the name of the Lord is, right? The wonderful thing about bringing your own altar, you bring God's name with you. For us Christians, we bring the name of his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, right? Because when we pray, we say what? In Jesus' name. We bring his name. Here, this is worth the whole sermon. For listening, here's the price, the reward you get. Listen to what he says. Wherever I record my name, this is what he said. He said, I will come to you. You read that? And then last, he said, wherever I record my name, he said, I will. He said, if you make the altar, you make the time, if you find a place, he said, no matter where you are, God said, what? I'll come to you. Isn't that wonderful? Does that bless you in any? That all you have to do is make an altar. If you make the altar, God said, I will come to you. I'll come wherever you are. You don't have to be in church. It doesn't have to be a communion Sunday. You follow what I'm saying? It ain't got to. Wherever you are, God said, if you just make an altar. This is his promise to you. His promise to us. He said, well, I'm coming. I'm coming where you are. Well, what if I'm not in a good place? Doesn't matter. What if I'm not in church? God doesn't care. God said, this is my promise. If you just build the altar. That's all you got to do. How do I build the altar? Pick a place. Pick a time. Right? Pick a time that you're at your best. He said, if you do that, God said, I'll do the rest. I'll come with you, right? The wonderful thing we read in Revelation, he says what? Behold, I stand at the door and I do what? And he said, if any man would open the door, he makes one promise. He says what? I'll come in and I'll sup with you. Jesus said, I'll come in and I'll sit at the table with you. You won't be alone. I'll sup with you. I'll break bread with you. So you got that, right? Look at somebody and say, God's going to join you. Now here, if you didn't get excited over this, you got to get excited over this one. He said, I'll come to you. And then look what, you see what the last part he said? He says what? And I will bless you. Are you reading this? If I just take my altar with me, that means God will come with me. Right? And every time I go to sacrifice, not only will he be there with me, but he's promised to bless me. Are you with me on that? That's why I'm trying to encourage you as your pastor, take your altar with you. Because one, it's going to provoke the presence of God wherever you are. That's why Paul and Silas can sing in presence. We look at it and say, oh, they were singing. I'm trying to tell you, all they did was make an altar. That's all they did. And look what happened. What? The presence of God came, right? How do we know the presence of God was there? The earth shook. The jail broke open, right? How do we know the presence of God? Because God came there and he what? He blessed them. Blessed them so much their chains and shackles came off, right? All because they made an altar. That's my message to you. As we go into the summer months, as we go into more vacation time, more time off, I just wanted to encourage you. to take your altar with you. Take God with you wherever you go. Right? Hey, say, Pastor, I'm not going anywhere this summer. I'm not doing anything. Fine. Take him to work with you. Find a place at work. I remember years ago when things were tight for me, I used to go in the bathroom and in the stalls I pray. It's not the most lovely image, but that's why, cause what? It was a place. It was a place and it was private. And it was a place I could be at my, I could give him my full attention, cause I wasn't at my desk where people are looking and watching. You follow what I'm saying? You gotta get serious about your salvation. Take your altar to work with you. Take your altar out into your community with you. So that what? God can go with you. Because if you have an altar, God's promised to bless you. Naaman said, just give me some dirt. That's all I need. You won't take these gifts out of my hand, that's fine. Give me some dirt. Because I want to take God. When I go back to Damascus, I want to be able to worship God. And to do that, he realized he needed an altar. Raise your hand if you realize you need an altar. Say, yeah, Pastor, I'm with you. I need an altar. And be like Naaman. Take your altar with you. Wherever you go. Cause the presence of the Lord to be there with you. Right? And cause God to keep his word to you and bless you. That's what he wants to do. More than your American Express card, your Visa double platinum with 0% interest for the first 6 months. Well, everybody got their head down. The Lord help you. If you build an altar, he might help you get out of debt. I don't. But are you getting what I'm saying? Take your altar with you. As we prepare for communion, we often look at this and refer to it as an altar. Within the context of the Christian religion, they view the Lord's table as the altar. It's where we have the sacraments. It's where we have the holy things. We treat it in a special way, right? So while, yes, this is an altar, but this is not the altar God wants. The altar God wants is your heart. The Bible says a broken and contrite spirit, he would no wise fight. That's the altar God wants. That's the altar that you can take with you anywhere. So with that being said, I'm going to invite everyone to take their sacraments. And if you do not have any, I am going to invite you to raise your hand. Our usher will make sure you have sacraments. Can you help us with that? Hebrews 13:10 tells us that we have an altar from which those who serve in the tabernacle have no right to eat. And without working that out here for you, it's simply telling us our altar is Jesus Christ. That's why I say this to your heart. You don't always have to be in a church. You don't always need a holy table. You don't always need holy communion and candles and crosses. All you need is a broken heart. That's your altar. That's what we bring, right? Right? And he said, if you just do that, he then gave you his word. He said, what? I'll be there with you. No matter where you are, God said, I'll come to you. He said, no matter what kind of condition or situation in, he promised to do one thing. And that was what? He said, I promise to bless you. Isn't that worth bringing your altar? Isn't that worth making an altar unto God? That I can have the presence of God with me, wherever I am, whatever situation, and that God has promised to bless me. If you have your sacraments now, I'm going to go ahead and ask you to expose the wafer. Come on, let's take that out. Once you have it, come on, let's lift it up to God. Lord, I thank you for your sacrifice. Look at this. On God's altar. His altar was the cross, right? That's what he sacrificed himself on freely, right? He told his disciples this. He said, take, eat. This is my body, which has been given for you. Eat ye all of it. Now, if you could just expose the grape juice. Here's the new agreement that we have with God. That if we just believe in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, that if we'll just take our altar with us wherever we go, he promised that what? He would be with us, right? He said it in Exodus. He repeats it again in the New Testament, the Great Commission. Lo, I am with you always, even to the very end. And wherever you are, God said, if you just make an altar, he's promised to bless you. Drink ye all of it. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Heavenly Father, our prayer today is that your will would be done in this, our earthen vessels. Clay pots created and crafted unto God for good works. May we always take our altar with us that we might receive your promise and blessing, the promise of your presence and your promise to bless us. So as we take these sacraments, as we confess our sins, our faults, and our failures, Father, I pray that you would create in us a clean heart. Renew a right spirit within us that we might serve you and bring you glory. This is our prayer. We ask it humbly. In the name of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. God bless you, Taylor. You may be seated.
Amen, amen, amen. We want to open the doors of the church and give the opportunity for salvation to anyone who's here with us or anyone who's listening online. Amen. Amen. Let us help you guide your way as you create and make your own altar. Amen. That you can take with you wherever you can go. If you seek salvation, I just ask you to repeat this simple prayer after me. Dear Lord, I know I am a sinner. I know that I deserve the consequences of my sin. However, I'm trusting in Jesus Christ as my Savior. I believe that his shed blood, death, and resurrection provided for my forgiveness. Amen. In Jesus' name, if you prayed that simple prayer, we believe that you've been born again, and we ask you to, excuse me, connect with us online. You can go to taylortabernacle.com and think it's / prayer request, and someone from this ministry will contact you ASAP and help you in the next steps in your walk as a Christian. Amen. Amen. Hey, it's offering time in the tabernacle. Better than I expected. Better than I expected. Amen. Amen. Hey, you can give one of four ways actually in the tabernacle. To my right, there are our baskets for our speaker and your tithes and offerings following service. Amen. You can also text to give Taylor 61 to phone number 73256 and you will receive a link and instructions. You can also give via our website, taylortabernacle.com/giving, and follow those instructions. You can also give via U.S. mail. Please send check or money order. Do not send cash. Taylor Tabernacle, P.O. Box 6309, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19139. Or you can give via Venmo at taylor-tabernacle-6309. As always, we thank you for your support of this ministry, and we ask God's blessing over your offering. Amen. Amen. You can also give to our pastor. I'm sorry, I did forget our speaker. You can also give to our pastor via Cash App or Venmo. Cash App is $ Pastor Jonathan Ford, and Venmo is at Jonathan-Ford-25. Amen. Amen. We're going to go right into our announcements. Excuse me. As always, the pastor and leadership of Taylor Tabernacle enjoy, happy you joined us for this live stream service via YouTube and Facebook or in person in the sanctuary. Remember to hit that subscribe button right there on YouTube or Facebook and join us every Sunday so you can stay informed as to what's going on in the tabernacle. Amen. Every first Sunday we gather at 8:30 a.m. as we did this morning for corporate prayer. We had a good time in the Lord this morning. Morning worship begins at 10 a.m. Wednesday nights, join us for prayer and Bible study at 7 p.m. via Google Meet. If you'd like to join us, those who are online and not members of the tabernacle, just shoot us an email and we'll be happy to send you that link so you can join us via Google Meet for prayer and Bible study at 7 p.m. Sunday school, every Sunday morning except the first Sunday, is 8:30 to 9 o'clock via Google Meet. We look forward to seeing your children online. And don't forget Pastor's YLE Challenge. I don't even remember what it is, but it is if you invite a friend, you get, what do you get? Somebody tell me. Can I invite somebody? All right, invite somebody and get a $40 gift card. Amen, amen. Hey, our July announcements. Today, Pastor is asking all the men of the tabernacle, if you just take 30 minutes in the exterior of the church and around the church, we're going to pull weeds and collect trash and just beautify the church. We realize that the city of Philadelphia, District Council 33, is on strike, which is partly our sanitation union here in the city. So we want to keep the area, the property of the church, as clean. And that includes 6048. As well, we want to keep them all as clean and neat as possible. Amen. So please join us as we do that immediately following morning service. Hey, July 27th, we will be honoring our Celeste Williams Scholarship recipients this year. Amen. In our Day of Joy service. This year, we are handing out, Sister Lillian has some flyers for our Joy Night as well. But this year we will be, this year's topic for the Celeste Williams Scholarship Fund is, are you a soldier in the army of the Lord? Amen. Amen. God is looking for you to become the commander of one of his divisions. Which division would you like to? Love, joy, peace, long suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. You can command any of those divisions of God's army. YLE applicants, your assignment is select from that list the division you want to lead. Explain the purpose and goal of that division. Identify the terrain where you want your division to battle. For example, school, athletic team, playground, music, art, dance, however you want to, or however and wherever you want to battle. Create at least 3 drills for high school and 2 drills for middle school and under for God's soldiers in that division to keep them all spiritually in shape to battle for God on that terrain. A prayer drill would be one obvious example. All completed applications are due Sunday, July 20th by 11:59 p.m. Amen? 11:59 p.m. They are very specific about that. Please submit your application to info@taylortabernacle.com. If you have any questions regarding Celeste's application, please see our Deacon Todd, who is not in the building today, but Sister Helene, if you'd raise your hand, and our Sister Kim, if you raise your hand, and may God's grace be with you all. Amen. And we'll be handing out those applications today, immediately following morning service. And last but never least, turning the tide garden. Amen. The garden is in full bloom. We have already started to get the beautiful fresh produce from the garden. What we are asking for are volunteers, some to come and help our gardeners, Lynn and Dave. Lynn, raise your hand. We all know Lynn, amen, and Dave. They work tirelessly in our garden. So we're asking those who don't mind at robbery to come out and help them to harvest, weigh, and prepare the produce for distribution each Sunday following service. And that means we'll have it immediately following morning service and all ready for us. So if you'd like to volunteer in the garden, please see our sister Lynn or our brother Dave. And I'm sure they wouldn't mind some help during the week as well, not just on Sunday morning, to weed and all that. If you've ever had a garden, it is an undertaking. Amen. And one that size doesn't come easy. Amen. I don't know about you, but I enjoy the wonderful fresh produce that we receive each Sunday from it. Amen. All right. All hearts and minds are clear. Service in the hands of our pastor.
Shall we stand? Happy belated 4th of July. Forgot to say that. Hope you guys have enjoyed the holidays and are continuing to do so. As the announcement was made, feel free to go out into the garden to pick up some fresh produce to include in your weekly meal planning, and may you be blessed by it. Shall we look to the Lord? Now unto him who alone is able to keep us and present us faultless before the Heavenly Father and his holy angels. Lord Jesus, I pray that you would stand up strong in the life of the believers everywhere throughout this week, the remainder of this month, the summer, and for the balance of our lives. Help us to be bright lights that shine for you. Let us reflect the glory of the Son of God, and that you receive all glory, honor, and praise. This is our prayer. We ask it in the name of Jesus Christ. All of God's people say amen, amen, amen again. God bless you, Taylor.